prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, the 3rd of November 2020, Election Day 2020, and I don't know what's going on yet. Don't know what the results are, obviously. It's early. But in my spirit, I sense a lot of bad things coming. And I'll just tell you right now that I think the Democrats are going to take it all. That's just my opinion. We will see. If I'm wrong, then I'll be glad to say I was wrong on that. But either way, folks, we're in. And that's why we have Russ Dizdar on with us tonight to explain what's going on behind the scenes and to try to make you understand that we have got to learn now. We can't. There's not a lot of time left. We've got to get settled and rooted in Christ to understand our duties to Him, our authority in Him, because the future may not bode too well for believers in this country. And I'm just telling you that because I care. You believe what you want and do what you want. But if you haven't prepared yourself already spiritually, mentally, and physically, you may be in for a hard, hard hit in the very near future. I have two prayer requests tonight. We'll go back to our guests. Two prayer requests, one for Jan, right here in West Virginia, and one for Dave. Both of them for physical healing. They are in a situation. Dave's out of Michigan. Dave and Jan both need a touch of God in their bodies. And folks, I ask you to pray your prayer warriors. I know I have prayer warriors out there. I know that. Thank you for being there for us. Please pray for Dave and Jan, okay? And I want to thank our donation today coming in from Norway. I'm not going to mention the gentleman's name on the air. But Norway, thank you for the donation you sent to us through DonorBox. We do appreciate so much that people actually care enough to listen to this broadcast all over the world. And I say this very humbly before God, but I wish people will listen to it all over this nation. And Russ Dizdar and others like this program that were trying to reach people for the glory of God. But folks, for the help of the people that need to know who Christ is. Because I know a storm is brewing. I know it is. I sense it. I feel it. I know Russ does too. And we're about to see all hell break loose in this country. I pray that you're solid in Christ. I do. Russ Dizdar, are you there?
I'm here. Good to be with you again tonight.
Good to hear
that, brother. Exciting night. It's not over. It's not over until they sing the last song, right?
No, it's not over until what the fat lady sang. But I don't feel good, Russ, about it. It could just be my spirit troubled in me, but I sense it's more than just my spirit being troubled. I think it's an unction of the Holy Spirit telling me that things are rough ahead, that we need to understand who we are in Christ, what authority we have in Christ, and what duty we owe to Christ now. We don't have a lot of time left to educate. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty, aren't we?
Right. And I think it's important for all of us really quickly here, too. I mean, in 2016, same thing. Hillary was winning all up to the towards the end of the evening, and then all of a sudden, the later votes came in and it ushered Trump in. So there, that's kind of how I see it will happen. But regardless, we're believers. None of this negates. I don't care who becomes president.
Amen.
We have a job to do. We're under the lordship of Christ. All authority is His in heaven and earth. And we and great revivals, great movement, ministry to people. I'm not gonna slow down on anything we're doing. And you know, if they curtail me over here, I'll just go over here. And like in the Book of Acts, same message, same Jesus, same miracle working God. And if we have to adapt to things at times. And I'm telling you, Butch, that's what I thought when I was in Scotland or France or Germany or Poland. There's different governmental systems more oppressive than here, far more oppressive and dark Scotland was and England was. But you have to consider, as a believer, how, you know, adapting to but never limiting what God can do. God wasn't Amen. Limited in His work in Rome. So look at atheistic communism. The truth is, they have more believers in China than we have here in the United States. They have 300 million. Of course, they got over a billion in their population. But China's biggest problem, their biggest threat, is there's 300 million Christians praying that God will come and change that atheistic communist. I mean, they're really anti-church, anti-God, anti-Christianity. They're really oppressive over there. So they learn to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's when the night walkers, the ladies, they'll go out and they'll go witnessing at 2 with all their gospel tracts. They go make visits. They go witness. They go share. So if Biden was somehow to win tonight, I just honestly can't see it. It tells me the nation is darker than we, you know, on that level alone is dark and unbelievable. But we don't give up anything ourselves.
We can't. If anything, we've got to stand stronger than ever. No matter who wins, it's going to be a nasty road ahead. But we got to learn to stand stronger and more faithful to Christ and in Christ, and exercise our duties to His kingdom because we are in His kingdom. But now we got to get back into that. I mean, oh gosh, this hour's going to fly by. I know it is. Russ. Tell us what you're seeing and on the spiritual side, demonic side, this activity in this nation around the world, what you're seeing and what's coming down that you know for sure, and share with us from your vast knowledge of what you sense in your spirit.
Well, there, you know, a couple of things we got to remember too. Again, whether it's Matthew 24 or whether you go to First or Second Thessalonians 2, that anywhere there's an increase of the demonic presence manifestation, anywhere Satan has a throne and growing, where that is really infecting society, you're going to begin to see the whole everything going dark, everything becoming oppressive, and that's just the nature of a demonic presence brings moral decadence. Moral decadence and demonic presence goes hand in hand. And then that brings greater warfare against the church and against believers. There's no question. You think of Antipas in the book of Revelation, where in Pergamum, where Satan had his throne, and so there was persecution. So we see that there's persecution in North Korea, in China, and Iran, in places where there's oppressive regimes. Here in the United States, there's a battle, and on the physical, on the surface of things, we think of it as Republican and Democratic. Here's how I see it: there is a spiritual presence and nature behind each side. I see one side. At this point in history, I would say with this Mr. Trump, President Trump, that there would be there is a clearer path to freedom for believers, anti-abortion. There's many, many things that would go to our advantage if he remains and wins and moves forward. There's no question that millions and millions are praying and are behind in the prayer aspect. When it comes to the other side, with Mr. Biden and these new kind of Democrats, you've got globalism, Marxism, Antifa. You've got everything here that is going to be more oppressive
And I want to say this too, Russ, and so am I. Yes, believers are praying for God to intervene for this nation, and a bunch of them are repenting for their own sins because the church had to get here. But on the other side, the darker side, witches are literally praying against Christians and even Trump.
Well, that's one of the indicators we need to look at. I said that back in 2016, too. I said, you know, when it comes down to whether it's Trump or Hillary or now Trump and Biden, who are the Satanists and occultists and witches doing rituals against? They're not doing it against Biden. They're doing everything they can. And so I know that underground. I know those people. I know that underground world. And I've actually read the prayer or the actual spell that it was put out, you know, back in 2016. There's particular spells. It's not a fake thing. It's not a, they're not just saying words. They're really summoning demonic spirits.
That's right.
To attack Trump and to go in that direction. Now, in another sense, it's dangerous for them to do that because when there's people praying against that, you know, the hand of God can come, like in the Old Testament, when he stretched out his hand against an occult political nation, a governing nation, and the terror of the Lord fell on them. And so here's what we need to understand. It's not the political side that saves us anyway.
No, it's not.
It's, you know, when revivals come, when God, like the Jonathan Edwards revival, the early Puritans and so forth, when particular revivals occurred, nobody could stop it. Nobody could stop the power of God, the hand of God. Let me refer to one revival, the Battleship North Carolina. Anybody can get online and read this. I've read it in revival books years ago. In this big, massive ship, and it's all the shipmates, you know, they're all cussing, and you know, they're all just hardcore, you know, ship guys, and they've been out. And four of the guys decided they wanted to somehow get their lives right. And so they went to the captain and said, can we have a room to go somewhere to begin a prayer meeting? He kind of laughed at him and sent him to the bottom of the ship and said, you can go down to this room down at the bottom of the ship and go down there and do this stuff. So they're all kind of, I think it said, you know, they try to give the denominational names of them, but they all went down there and they began to try to pray. They began to try to read a Bible out loud. And here's what it says. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God struck them. They all repented. They all turned to Jesus. God so came with power, they began to praise God strongly and loudly. Other shipmates heard this. They went down there for one reason, to make fun of them. And as they went down there to make fun of them, the Spirit of God struck them, convicted them. They repented. The report tells us that up to 70% of the ship turned to Christ on the eastern seaboard when they stopped port by port by port. Instead of coming out and going to all the bars and prostitutes, so many of these guys that just got saved, got filled with the Spirit, got so, you know, just this, God was moving so powerfully, they began to witness all along the eastern seaboard, up and down every port they'd go into. And here's the end of the story. The conservative estimates in a six-month period is that 1 million people came, around 1 million people came to Christ.
Amen.
So, and I've been in some revivals. I have been in some revivals where the Spirit of God came in great power. If you read Jonathan Edwards, and see, this is what slams darkness. This is what, you know, I tell you, you know who hates revivals more than anybody is the dark side, because it is such a massive pushback on them. It is like a culture-wide exorcism. If you want to talk about expelling demons, when the power of God comes, like at Pentecost or Acts chapter 4, when they raised their voices and prayed, and guess what occurred? The power of God came down so strong that it shook the physical building. That's how much power came. So I just want every believer to realize, regardless of the political powers, nothing changes with God. Nothing changes in his power. There's no limitations or whatsoever. I don't, you know, we look at Paul and Silas. They're in a prison praying. All they had left to do was pray and praise God, and God caused an earthquake. So we better start believing the God that causes earthquakes, the God that shakes buildings,
Amen.
The God that pours out his Spirit. And we got to understand, God's not hiding away on the other side of heaven because we're at the end of days. No, God is here to be operative and powerful. God is here to be, if we don't believe the word of God that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, we've got to either say yes or no. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Everything else comes from the evil one. So you today,
Russ, I don't keep interrupting you, but we, the believer, the true believers. I'm not saying the ones that go to church and say they go to church. I'm talking about true believers. We got to learn to exercise the authority and power and have faith in Him. Now, I know I need to grow in this. I'm like everybody else. I'm a mere child in my ways here. But we must learn to live like this no matter what the future holds. We have to learn to exercise those things so for the glory of God and for His kingdom. Now, From what you're seeing working with other people around the country, around the world, what demonic activity are you seeing increasing in these last days?
Well, it's kind of weird. Here we are November 3rd. Now, I put out a 35-day prayer map, like a prayer request. It's on our website, theraggededgeradio.com. It's free. Anybody can download it. But it was just going over calling thousands of people to pray October 1st, October 2nd, October 3rd. And then it gave them targets, you know, praying for revival, praying for God's, you know, advance, praying for souls, praying for God's power, but also then praying against. Here's why. All the underground Satanists worldwide, witches, Satanists, pagans, Druids, whoever else, occultists, the last weekend is the biggest weekend, one of the biggest weekends of the year for them. The biggest blood rituals, the biggest sex rituals, and there's more of them now. I say this all the time only to make a point. There's more practitioners who can summon demons, engage demons, what the powers of demons, summon and send them against people in spells and hexes and curses than ever in collective history, Butch. And here's what we have at the end of this 35-day thing. On November 2nd, which is yesterday, last night was called Demon Revels Ritual. It's a ritual called Demon Revels. Now, anywhere there's a Satanist in this world of satanic ritual abuse, that ritual was done all over the world. We have it even listed. You can look up under, anybody can look on the web and just type in Satanic Ritual Abuse Calendar. And they're going to see a listing for the entire year of the major rituals. Now, on those nights, and that's why we're out there usually in the woods or in the places or praying or target praying. That's why we got thousands of people to pray and target any covens, any groups doing this. And I'm going to say to all Christians,
I want to stop you 1 second. Now, people listening tonight probably already know, but some don't. They're saying, now there are no such things as witches today. This is year 2020. There are no witches today. There are no covens. I mean, that's all happened in the mid ages, you know, in the medieval times. Tell us, enlighten us, how prevalent is witchcraft and powers of Satan in this country today?
I'll give you a good example I give to people. I even give this to law enforcement sometimes. Jeffrey Dahmer, everybody knows about now. When Jeffrey Dahmer was living in Wisconsin, everybody thought he was just a mild-mannered guy. Same with Ted Bundy, same with John Wayne Gacy. Here he is doing all his stuff. He's killing all these people. He's taking these boys home. He's mutilating them, cutting them up. I had to be at a law enforcement SWAT team training place where they showed us the pictures of the inside. He had a satanic altar built out of human thigh bones. He had what's called a power cone, which is a triangle shape built out of human skulls. Now, did they know this? I mean, he's out in the community. He's out buying his groceries. He's out doing it. Nobody knew anything. If you were to say, look at that guy over there, that mild, meek, brown, you know, sandy brown-haired guy. Look at that guy over there. He's a major Satanist. They would say, are you crazy? That guy comes in to get groceries every week. He's nice. He's polite to me. You know, I see him walking down the street. But inside of his house, he's doing the darkest of rituals. He's killing individuals in ritualistic ways. He's cannibalistic, and he's done it for years before they caught him. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. I've spent 40 years engaging and going, like Ezekiel chapter 8, when God said, go down in there. Now, you go dig, and you go down in there. I'll show you the abominations. So I've been to ritual sites, ritual places, prisons, psych wards, engaging hundreds of satanic ritually abused individuals. We've gone to those who've done rituals. We had people send us things with blood and bones and rituals against us. There's a thousand stories I can tell you, but I can tell you that 40 years of this, Butch, 40 years, and it corresponds to the scripture in prophecy. It declares that there'll be more practitioners and underworld, you know, satanic system, shadow system, not just the deep state. This is deeper
Yeah, much deeper than that. Much deeper.
Oh, this is the satanic. This is exactly what Revelation, or I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians, the mystery of iniquity, it is already working. Now, what is that? It's a global interface of all those who are engaging Satan, embracing his cause, and the dark side entities are, you know, they welcome them, and they're collectively working towards the day in which the Antichrist will come forward, and they, on a global scale, will come to power. Revelation 13 demands that principle. They don't come to power. You know, the Antichrist can't be 2 years old when he comes out, you know, when he's released in the apocalypse of, you know, the man of sin, the unveiling.
That's true. That's true.
He has to be there for years behind the scenes, and he has to have built a system worldwide. If a worldwide system, we read about in Daniel, we read about in Revelation 13, if it's going to spring out into the world, it has to be in existence. So, deeper than the deep state, deeper than Biden, and deeper than Antifa, which is all a mess and bad, you know, that's bad enough in a sense. But deeper than that, where the puppet master is, where the real powers are, the practitioners. And so I'm going to say again, on a global scale, when it comes to what are called sorcerers, maguses, wizards, magi, Bokers, Babalao, Santero, Paleros, on and on, all these kind of practitioners. There are more practitioners engaging spirits and demons on a global scale than ever in history. Well, one of the reasons, we're around 8 billion people, of course. The other reason is we can track back into the 50s and then into the 60s. An occult historian tells us the largest release of occult dark literature, which we would call doctrines of demons, was released. The first largest proliferation of that occult literature was released in pre-Nazi Germany. The second largest release of occult, satanic-oriented literature that would lead people to practice rituals and become that was released in the United States in the 1960s. So, you know, the Satanic Bible was put out by Anton LaVey in the 60s. The Church of the Satanic, you know, the actual Church of Satan, you know, was launched in the 60s. But the underground, even under that public Satanism, is the real blood and guts, just like Ezekiel chapter. It's no different. The Old Testament, Baals and Moloch, child sacrifice, blood sacrifice rituals, the king of Moab in Kings 3 sacrificed his own son, a blood sacrifice on the wall to draw powers to come on the Moabite soldiers to fight Israel. He actually did that. It was a weaponization. So, no, we have to read our scriptures over and over again and realize maybe in the last 100 years or so, Western Christianity that has dumbed down the full biblical picture of this warfare. There's no fall of the human race, Butch, without Satan being in the garden engaging humanity. When Jesus comes, there's no opposition to him other than Satan himself, Matthew 4, engaging him, trying to get him to cross over. Of course, Jesus blows him out of the water, and we read 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy. The reason he manifested was to destroy the works of the devil. He came to do that. We could, you know, you quoted it yesterday, I think it was Colossians chapter 1, that we're ripped out of the dominion of darkness and we're translated over into the kingdom of Jesus. So being saved is an act of spiritual war. You're brought out of the, like Paul says in Acts, out of the power of Satan to God, out of darkness. That's everybody. If we're lost, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us Satan owns us. The prince of the power there, he owns us. And when we get saved, that ownership is severed, and Jesus comes in, the Spirit of God comes in. We are not only forgiven, but released from the power and control of sin, and we're released from Satan's ownership. Now God owns us. We're a temple of the Spirit of God. Now God owns us. And so now we as a believer, we want to appropriate every truth in Scripture, bring every truth inside. Jesus, you know, warned the disciples, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. They found out pretty quickly when they didn't know enough how bad they got beat up at first. Now, Peter writes later in First Peter chapter 5, verse 8, you know, we're to be sober-minded and alert. Because why? Your enemy? He's the devil. He's going around. He's roaring like a, he's going around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So there's a reality of that. I mean, there's no question in my mind. I mean, I've had the Mark chapter 5, when that demonic presence manifested, even said its name Legion in front of Jesus. I've had that kind of encounter many, many times, over 40 years, hundreds of times with people, because we've just simply poured ourselves into it. But I also can tell you that in Luke 10:19, Jesus said, I have given you authority to tread on these. That authority is so overwhelming that demons go out screaming. That's the only thing that deals with them. When we go up against rituals, or if they've summoned demons trying to send them against us, or if the enemy's doing something, we need to have the armor of God on. Ephesians 6, we're commanded to put it on and leave it on. Our struggle, I mean, if we're going to say we're Christians, if we're real Christians, church or not, just going to a church doesn't make you a wise Christian. That's gathering, right, and doing all, but getting into the Word of God, and it says your battle is not against flesh and blood.
I want to say this too, that the more you're in the battle, the wiser the soldier you become. You learn the tricks of Satan by taking him on.
Yeah.
And that's how you grow in Christ. I mean, you exercise your authority and power over him, and you learn his tricks and maneuvers, and that builds your faith also.
Right. Well, and it's like Acts 9:22, when Paul, he gets saved, Saul of Tarsus, he gets saved, he gets filled with the Spirit, he begins to step out in obedience. And here's what it says in verse 22, he becomes more and more powerful. He grew more and more, and that's what we are as believers. There is so much in us, and all those promises are to be realized in our lives. And so here's what I tell folks, because I see a lot of Christians that are afraid. Listen, Pastor Butch, I have engaged pastors, and they've told me, I don't want to go talk. I don't want to talk about spiritual warfare. I don't want to bring that out to my people. It scares them. It always causes problems. So my response was, so then you just negate all this scripture? You just tell Christians to close your eyes and pretend that none of this exists? Now, the Apostle Paul says in Corinthians, we're not ignorant of this.
Amen. That's true.
We're not ignorant of the devil's schemes.
How much demonic activity have you run into in churches? And I'm not talking about Amish. I'm talking about Christian churches. How much you run into in the churches?
Yeah, you, there's no question about it. You, especially when a church is really weak. When it's really weak and there's no demonstration, just so everybody knows, the church should be the most supernaturally powerful gathering time. It should be the most, it should be like God all over the place. Because we come in His name. When two or three gather in His name, there He is in the midst. We're the temple, where God dwells. Prayer should bring manifestation of the Spirit of God. Preaching
Amen.
Should bring a manifestation of the Spirit of God. Worshiping should bring a, invitation.
Break time already. Break time already.
Sure.
Hang on through the break. Folks, a lot more talk about it. Again, we'll take a phone call tomorrow. We got to get a lot more cover tonight. I'm going to get into where this devils actually dwell soon, so don't go away.
This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Strobel Foods, the only strobel food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best strobel foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Numana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch and get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
Folks, we are back in and talk to Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. ShatterTheDarkness.net. Check out his website, ShatterTheDarkness.net. This man had been on the front lines of demonic powers and fightings for 40 years. 40 years ago, I didn't have any idea. I was born again in 1971, so it's been a little over 40 years, obviously 49 years. But I still had no inkling. And I didn't have a lot of inkling of this until probably 8 or 9 years ago when I started seeing things happen and demons actually manifest. And I had no idea. And I still don't know as much as I should know to be my age and preaching as long as I have been. That's why Russ is here tonight. Russ, I'll make a comment. I'm going to turn you loose again. You know, I did a teaching. I'm going to do it again in more detail this coming weekend in our Bible study. Folks, we are going to have church this weekend, by the way. Before we get that, we're going to have Bible study 11:30 a.m. Eastern. I hope you can join us. We'll do an hour of current events as always. Then we'll get in a Bible study entitled Our Heritage and Duties in Christ. Our Heritage and Duties in Christ will be taught. You can listen to us by going to PastorButch.com. PastorButch.com. Click on live stream. 11:30 a.m. there will be. You can also listen on the phone line. I'll give you the phone numbers if you get a pen and paper handy very quickly. I'll give you the phone numbers. The numbers are 605-562-0489. 605-562-0489 or 641-741-2866. 641-741-2866. One of the most, I think, most important teachings that we ever tried to do, and is certainly relevant for the time we live in. But I'm just reading and I've been teaching on our duties to Christ and our heritage in Christ and the authority He's given us. And I looked up the word power that's mentioned in Colossians chapter 1. John 1:12, where He gives us power to become the sons of God. That word power means superhuman. That's what it means, seriously, folks. And in Acts 1:7-8, that word power there means workers of miracles. That's what it actually means. Why are we not exhibiting these things today in today's church? Why don't we see miracles worked? Why don't we see Satan's devils and Satan himself flee from the name of Jesus? The church, God didn't get old. He didn't get feeble. He didn't walk away. The church has become a mere shell of what it once was. Through a lot of years of soft living, I do believe, in America at least. But Russ, go ahead and continue and tell us, if you would, get into it when you get a chance here. Well, you've seen it. You saw devils manifest. I'm sure you probably even saw demons yourself in person. But I want you to tell people, you know, where they live, how they dwell in the earth, above the earth, whatever.
Sure.
But you have in your time and experience, you have actually seen demonic activity, demons themselves manifest, have you not?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, and that could happen anywhere. You know, anywhere we've been called. We've been called to a lot of places. But when it comes to being in a church, like when I was a local pastor of a church, all of the Akron area, 50 other churches sent us people because they wouldn't do it. They sent us people that said that they had voices in their head, or they had this evil presence inside of them, or they were afraid that something was going on. Psychologists brought us people, cops brought us people, pastors brought us people. And the sad thing was, out of, you know, 50 other churches in the greater Akron area sent to us people. Now, what happened was, and our staff was all, you know, trained. And once you're trained, it's really not hard, and there's nothing to be afraid of. As a matter of fact, the more you obey the Word of God and do the works of Jesus, the stronger you become, the more confident you become, the more competent you become, and truly, the more powerful you become. Believers are to be very powerful. The gates of hell are not to prevail against the church, the real church. So I'm just saying that any believer that wants to believe Jesus, be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, know his giftings, workings, and appropriate the authority. So when you just mention God, you know, is enfeebled and walked away from all this, please understand what you said is, and the church is but a shell of what it used to be. Both those statements are the biggest and most important things to say, Butch, because the two things are very clear and absolutely true. Number one, in no way has God backed away. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care. Don't let darkness, everybody, don't let darkness define your belief. The Word of God defines your belief, and believes in that belief right here today, that Jesus that Paul knew, that Peter knew, that Barnabas knew in the book of Acts, is the same Savior, same power, same working, same leading, same joy of the Lord as of right now. Secondly, as you mentioned the church being a shell, look at Sardis in the book of Revelation. Once alive, it became dead. It quit doing the works of Jesus. It became dead. And Jesus was dealing with it. You know, either you get this right, he gave them a way to come back, or they're going to die out completely. So, you know, that's why denominations have died out. That's, you know, groupings of church, so-called churches and so forth. Any local, we all know this. And I pastored, one time I pastored at a church that would seat over 3,000 people, Butch. And we had thousands come, hundreds get saved. And then I pastored little storefronts and smaller churches too. So the building doesn't make any difference. What makes a difference is our gathering in his name. And if we open wide the gates, in a sense, in worship, in prayer, in word, in invitation, people getting saved, pray for healing. Now, does the devil come into the church at times? Well, let's go to the Word of God. Acts chapter 5, there was Ananias and Sapphira. Did Satan try to get in them? Did Peter say to them, why have you allowed Satan to so fill your heart? That's the same word used for believers being filled with the Spirit. Exact same word. They conspire together to lie, and that's Satan is a liar, according to the Father of lies. So Satan was trying to get into the church to bring corruption. And we've got to understand that Satan in the demonic realm wants to fight against the church, to suppress it, cripple it. If they can cripple a Christian and keep them from living powerfully and living the way they should. Well, you know, if a Christian's not going to win souls, if they're not going to pray and get answers, if they're not going to, you know, because what happened is the shell of the church that we're seeing today, we have to acknowledge something very clearly. It's subnormal. It's not the norm.
Amen.
Dead churches is not the norm. It's the abnormal. Live churches. A live church is where the manifest power of the presence of God through the Holy Spirit, where God is moving, people getting saved, people can get healed, and where anybody that would walk in that has a demon, then that church is going to deal with that. The sad thing, like in Akron, I was mentioning, all these other churches, I'll give you an example. We're in the middle of a worship service. This is when I was still local pastor. We just got doing the worship stuff, and I came out to lead the church in prayer. We're praying. I'm standing in the up front by the pulpit area in the middle. Of course, the aisle's straight down. Here comes a group of people bringing a girl in from another church. A lady runs down the aisle to me and says, "We are at the such and such church over here in Akron. They told us to take this woman over to your church." And as soon as she said that, standing in the aisle, right in the middle of our prayer time, of 100, probably 160 people standing there, this woman, this demon manifests out of her and screams out loud. The demon yells and speaks and says, you can't have her, she's mine. Well, as soon as I heard that, I've heard that already, and, you know, that presence of the demon is, you know, I've engaged that again and again. So, obviously, I walk down the aisle towards this person. As they're standing there manifesting a demon looking at me, the rest of the church is, everybody is looking at the woman. I'm walking down the aisle, you know, the middle of the aisle of this church, and I'm going towards, and I'm beginning to pray out loud. As I begin to pray out loud, they literally tried to lurch at me and jump at me, and I said, stop in the name of Jesus Christ. And they did. And I said, I command you to stop. You will not use this body in the name of Jesus. And they stopped, and they just stood there. Everybody could see this, so the worship leader begins to lead the church in praise songs. The whole church is now singing praise hymns, and they're all looking. And I'm engaging, and so we pray to rebuke this demon. Of course, in this case, the demon screeched and screamed and then came out. She fell to the floor, and then we had to deal with that. And we didn't make it happen. We didn't try to do this. So, I don't think any church should play games where they exploit this, but it just happened. Now, the truth was, other churches found out that we did this. Even the largest church, a 14,000-member church, started sending all their people over to us that had voices in their head, or they were oppressed, the three things I'll mention. A person can be completely possessed and owned by a demon. A person can be oppressed and have, like, it's almost like depression, but they're oppressed by the enemy and the lies around them. They can be, they can have attachment where they have, it's when we're commanded in Ephesians 4, don't give the devil a foothold. And if somebody gives the devil the foothold, the Greek word is topos, if you give him that legal right, he's going to hold. If you're into anger deep enough, he can hold you into that. If you stay, it's like a landing pad in a sense. If you get into the sin nature stuff, if you get into some stuff long enough, the enemy can hold you, make it a stronghold. You got to repent in order to break free. When it comes to possession, a demon has to be commanded to come out of the person. Jesus used the words ek or ekbalo in the biblical Greek. And so the command, come out, he just sternly said, like Mark chapter 5 is the picture of this. Acts 16 and Acts 19, you see, like Paul, for example, the girl that's predicting the future, it has a demon in her, and following them around and kind of mockingly saying, these are people of the Most High God. And it was a demon. It wasn't the Holy Spirit speaking through her. Finally, Paul gets so agitated, he turns around and just says, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And the demon left her. And of course, all the cultists in the city got angry.
Sure.
And basically, it started a riot.
That's true, yeah.
Because he cast a demon out of a...
Well, it costs them money. That's a problem.
Yeah.
You hit the pocketbook.
Yeah. Right.
Where do devils dwell on earth, in earth, above earth?
Well,
tell us
sure.
about that. Where do they dwell? Where are their dwelling places besides in people?
Well, in a real sense, any place they've been welcomed or have. And I'll first say this. In Ephesians chapter 6, when it mentions principalities and powers, here's what we're going to realize. And we'll try to take in the whole scope of Scripture from beginning to end. But when you think in terms of them, principalities, powers, and so forth are listed there. Four, in the biblical Greek, four words. Cosmocrator, Archon, Exousia, and Pronaeus Numenikai. Four kinds of the fallen. It's all demonic, but there's kinds of them. Like unclean spirit, and so forth, a spirit that makes somebody mute. So here it says in Ephesians 6, they dwell in the Epihuronos, the heavenlies right above our head. Satan in Ephesians 2 is he's the prince of the power of the air. That word air means the dense atmosphere. So think in terms of the whole earth. And right above your head, straight up into the sky, in a sense, not in outer space, but straight up above, the whole earth. I don't think we understand the biblical picture here. And this is where truth comes in, that we're this word of God teaches us truth. I would say there's billions, there's more of them than there are humans. There's billions and billions of them, fallen angels, the demonic realm, the demons, and so forth.
And one question everybody's going to ask, where do they come from?
Well, I would say that, because some people go to the Book of Enoch. I don't. I just say, Jesus didn't differentiate, the kinds. He didn't say this is a Nephilim spirit, this is that kind. Some people do that today. I just want to stay with the scriptures as the authority. And he doesn't, other than fallen angels, when they're called angelos, meaning messengers, or like in Revelation 12, when he calls them the devil and his angels, they're going to try to lead the whole world astray. So they have a world. See, the other side has a global mission also.
Sure. They have a kingdom.
Right.
They have a kingdom.
And they're trying to assimilate the whole world. So I'm going to say that if you think in terms of the fallen angels and so forth, and demons are spirits. They are even Satan is a spirit. Ephesians 2, he's the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. So they are, when I say spirit, not a fog, that's a real entity, a real solid entity. So whether you look at the fallen angel that are operative, some say, like in Ephesians 6, that's the cosmocrator, the principality, or the there's principalities, there's powers, there's authorities, there's a whole array of demonic spiritual forces. So as entities, they are demons. And by the way, Old Testament and New, they don't die. Even in warfare, you don't kill them. You win over, you get them expelled, you cut their authority off, you give them, there's laws of engagement. It's like in Genesis 3. Satan had no right to do anything until he led humanity to exchange God for the lie, to sin. Once he led humanity to the sin, he was able to come in and be the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's the God of this world. He got authority. He got the rights to be here, and he brought all the fallen ones with him. So this entire, and we got to realize we're talking billions of them. I believe they're in rankings. There's rankings of them. When Jesus, his very presence forced them to manifest, like with, when you take a look at, and again, the best place to look is Mark chapter 5. That's a classic case. He didn't even say anything. He just simply arriving on the edge of the shore there, and the guy that is so filled with demons in the tomb area comes, the demons know that Jesus is approaching. They know if you're a believer, they know if somebody's a, Paul, Jesus we know and Paul we know, they said in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
So they know us. They know,
yes.
if the Spirit of God is dwelling in us, they know us. And the problem is, if a believer doesn't know their authority and doesn't know who they are in Christ and what they have authority over the demons to trash them. I mean, when I say trash, tread to crush, the idea of crushing them through spiritual authority to overcome all the power of the enemy and nothing will harm you. Those are the words of Jesus in Luke 10:19. Every Christian should take that verse and say, Lord, I accept the authority you've given me. I thank you. I fully accept this authority, and I accept the mission that comes with it, that wherever I meet a person that's demonized and demon-possessed, I have the ability given by you to command and to order them, get out in Jesus' name. And so, and then, years ago, too, Butch, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, this is many years ago, when it comes to oppression, like Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God, there's a scripture that most Christians don't even understand what it means. It says, put up the shield of faith by which you can extinguish what? You can extinguish all those flaming
fiery darts.
So you extinguish those that are coming from the evil one. Now, what are those things? What are the fiery darts? If a believer doesn't even know what the fiery darts, it's involuntary communication. It's the enemy speaking or trying to press feeling that's contrary to the word, contrary to Christ, on a person. That's where oppression comes from. If a believer feels oppressed, like God's not here, well, that's, first of all, if all of a sudden you're feeling really strong, that God's not here, I don't feel God's proud, God's not going to help me, well, the word of God, that's the enemy speaking or thrusting feeling, that's the fiery dart. And we're to lift up the shield of faith right into Jesus and into the Word of God. What does the Word of God say?
You know, I always thought that was lust or thoughts he's throwing at you.
It could be lust. It could be anger. It could be anything. It's like again. Look at the example in Genesis 3. Yea, has God said? First he created doubt. Then he said, no, God didn't say that. And then he gave a false word. So, and look at how he quotes scripture in Matthew 4. Satan quotes scripture incorrectly. I don't believe he can quote it correctly.
Well, no, he's a liar. He can't tell the truth. He's a liar. His father's a liar.
But the
demonic activity is all over this world, above this world. And we'll get into that briefly inside this world. How much has it influenced the world leaders, the world itself? We know that the Nazis worked with the demonic activity. Has it influenced, and how much is it influencing right now?
Sure. Well, a good study of the Old Testament or the New. You look at all the tribes around Israel. All were demonized tribes: Moabites, Hittites, Philistines. They were all. I mean, you think in terms of Nebo and Daniel and the Babylonians. They were all demon worshipping the ancient demon gods: Nebo, Shemosh, Baals, Moloch, and again, none of them ever die. So all around Israel, everything, because they got the legal right to be here. They got the legal right to be over humanity and have rule over humanity. So when God steps in to initiate Israel,
I repeat that. They had the legal right to rule over humanity because man chose sin. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Exactly. That's the whole issue. He can't do it without somebody giving a right. That's why we're told, you know, the Word of God says in Ephesians 4, you know, about don't let the sun go down in your anger. Don't give the devil the Greek word topos. It's actually used, the biblical Greek word is used, it's a legal right. Don't give him the room. Don't give him a hole in your life. If I'm in my house right now, and I'm in my house, and if there is a saber-toothed tiger out there clawing at my big door and trying, you know, whatever, well, he's on the other side of the, wall there, the door. I'm not going to open the door and let him in. The stupid thing would be for me to go over there, open the door, and let him come in and attack. So if a Christian opens the door through prolonged sin in anger, in lust, or if the enemy is trying to tell you, like again, God's not with you, well, that's contrary. In Hebrews 13, he'll never leave you, never forsake you. When the enemy attacks a believer through those fiery darts, that's communication. That's involuntary. That's when the enemy's trying to throw thoughts. God doesn't love you. He's not with you. You can't do this. And then a Christian feels oppressed because demonic presence comes through lies. When a believer then says, no, the truth is, Jesus said, the Word of God says he'll never leave me, forsake me. Jesus said in Matthew 28, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. I stand on the Word of God. Well, the Holy Spirit comes through the Word of God. And you're going to feel the joy of the Lord. You're going to feel the manifestation of the Holy. When any believer believes the Word and stands on the Word, the Holy Spirit will be operative. When any believer is yielding to the enemy's lies and beginning to believe the lies, they will get oppressed. And they'll become suppressed and beaten.
Well, you know, gosh, Russ, we need about another 15 programs to scratch surface on this. This is phenomenal stuff. But so demonic activity that's above us, we'll say, that is an area around us. It is working daily in many people's lives. Well, no matter whether they're paupers or princes, He's busy in in his activity of possessing and oppressing the people, is he not?
Sure. Sure. Well, that's Peter learned it the hard way. He wrote about it in 1 Peter 5. He's called the enemy who's prowling around. He's looking to devour. Now, the good news is when you know that you're in Christ, that he's here to protect you, Psalm 91. So I can tell us, we can go through all of what Satan is and what he does, and that's all real, but I also want to say, then God in me, Christ in me, the blood of Jesus, that they, you know, like we read in Revelation 12, they overcame the dragon, Satan's full force, by what? The word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So here we are as believers. We're covered in the blood of Jesus. We have authority. We're supposed to put on the armor of God. You're to accept and appropriate and live in truth, righteousness, the peace of the gospel, so on. That's to be operative in your life so that God is manifesting power, might, and strength in you. That's Ephesians 6:10. So you put on the armor of God. That's Ephesians 6:10, that when you put on the armor of God, you know, be empowered. It tells you there in the mighty strength, you know, power. These are three words there, power, strength, and might. So when we're obedient to the word and we're going to say, okay, I trust all the truth of Jesus. I accept that truth. I'm going to live in that truth. That's putting on the armor of God. I accept the righteousness of Christ. I accept that he has made me righteous, not that I have any, but he's made me that by the blood of Jesus, and I'm going to walk righteously. It's kind of like this.
Okay, go ahead. I hate to interrupt you, but you make some good points here. Go ahead.
Well, just one quick illustration. You know, I go out to wash my car, and I have one of these long 50-yard hoses or whatever, and so I'm over there washing my car, and I'm pulling the hose around a little bit, and then it kinks up way down the road, you know, way back towards the house. It gets a kink in the line. The problem is not that there's not water coming out of the house into the hose in the first part, but it's where the kink is. And so I'm at the other end where there's barely anything coming out. So what I need to do is go over there and unkink that. That's the Christian. When we all of a sudden will say, okay, I'm going to believe the word, I'm going to live the word, I'm going to step out in obedience, you know what's happening? All that's in you can begin to come through you and manifest through you. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to try. That hymn's correct. In obedience, you get stronger. In obedience, James 1, you get blessed. In obedience, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, I write to the young men, because why? You are strong. You've overcome the evil one. Why? Because the word of God lives, it's abiding in you. That Greek word meno means abiding, living. You've accepted the word, you've put it into practice, and you literally have victory now over the devil.
All right,
instead of being afraid of the devil, worry about the devil.
We're done with the last minute and a half here. And we're going to continue this tomorrow night for sure. But very quickly, do demonic entities still appear physically with, we'll say, world leaders or witches, covens, and come in front of them physically and manifest themselves to these people?
I believe, Butch, that like the prince of the power of the prince of Persia in the book of Daniel, I believe nations around the world have hierarchy of demons and so forth from up high, down below, all the way. You know, where, and then again, if there's temples, a mosque, you know, a satanic ritual site, any places that opens the gateway, if somebody does a satanic ritual in a house, if somebody uses what's called a talking board, a Ouija board, if they use that in their house and they really practice it, they really try, what they don't realize is it was designed by the demons to be a doorway. If you open the door in a house, wherever, they'll come.
We are paid out of time, Russ Dizdar. We'll see you tomorrow night, brother. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon tomorrow.
Okay? Praise God. Bye.
Folks, we love you. We'll see you tomorrow night. God bless. Folks, get in the Word. Walk in Christ. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.